Hey everybody, welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding, episode 36. Dusty Hanshaw and myself have an episode full of Coach's Corner and Instagram questions. It is 420 on It's Just Bodybuilding.
Fantastic run.
I slipped that in there, Dusty.
You just tossed it in super small.
Although they will see it and hear it on 422.
But they know when we are.
They know we're on Monday, they're on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's fine. We're still celebrating for them. I already made an announcement.
Hello from the past. Right?
That's creepy. I should watch this with someone. Then we got whole thing going there.
So what do you, you're eating a bar and wearing a cannabis shirt. Mm-hmm. So you're having a little fun today.
Absolutely. I can't do the other thing, but we did that before we started. So
right.
I don't know the legality of that, but you know.
Yeah, you know.
Plus I'm not trying to get the kids doing it. You know, they need to wait until they're at least 14.
I still might want to run for office and stuff too, right? Later on.
Well, I was asked to become the president, remember? So
I'm not sure what I've done that I'm worried about the most.
Fuck, let's not get into that game.
Right?
So I shared some stories this weekend. We're all good with that.
Right. I'm watching Billions right now, right?
Yes.
We're watching Billions, and we're in season 3. And one of the main characters, the guy's got some real off-book sexual fetishes, right?
Yes.
And he's contemplating running for office right now. So they're having an official vetter. Like they have like professionals that come in and you tell them everything you've done. And then they make sure that they're ready for.
Leave out sexual fetishes.
Right. So you have to tell them, like, you have to tell that person everything because they have to be prepared and have like a strategy for every possible outcome. It's like really crazy. It's a very interesting look into the back end of politics. You know what I mean? And he goes, I think he says something like, oh, well, you know, not everything or something like that. And she goes, the last person that didn't tell me everything was Spritzer. And he looks at her and he's like, oh, okay. So that's and Elliot Spritzer's that guy that had like the escort agency. His name was all over the books for the escort agency, yeah. Right? Isn't that the guy? And what was he? He was like a New York senator or something. What was he?
That's what's so fantastic is because it was such a big deal when it happened that they're just tossing that in. Everybody goes, wait, I think I know what that was.
Yeah, because it was a couple years ago, right? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not, obviously he's an American politician, but yeah, I think that's what it was with him, right? He had some sort of sexual scandal in it. Yeah, like people were saying he could maybe run for president one day. And then all of a sudden he's like, he's a correspondent on like a news channel.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure his sexual deviance business is still kicking ass. So it's
fine. He's probably having more fun now that he doesn't have to worry about the bullshit, right?
I'd look at it as free advertising for my fucking business and I'd roll with that shit.
Right. Like, okay, now everybody knows I'm a sick fuck. Okay. So the only women that are going to approach me are going to be okay with that. So like almost just like zones you in on the right demographic that you're after at that point.
That demographic is coming for you now.
Yeah. Sort of I respect Luke's intelligent move there, mentioning the anal fetish early in the bodybuilding and Bullock's library and allowing the entire fitness world to know what Luke was all about.
If you're not looking for this, just don't call.
Yeah. If you just don't. Uh-huh. That's really cute of you to message me.
Uh-huh. You saw the rules. There's the velvet ropes don't open for that.
You watch the show, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, well, you know, you got to have that subtle. That's the politics, right? Subtle little slides.
Slide it in. See what happens. I agree.
So let's just get it out of the way. How's your solitude going? Down
it's
there
fantastic. You know, I don't see anybody. I think I saw 3 people all weekend. I took the weekend off from training. Okay. So, you know, kept it simple, had good times. And yeah, I think I'm quarantine champion of the world currently.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And the gyms are opening again in May here. So no more fucks to give. Life is going to be 100% back to normal on May 1st.
Oh, they are opening the gyms May 1st, eh?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty – it's they haven't absolutely, but they said they were right. lifting the stay-at-home okay. situation. So
there'll probably be a bunch of rules. Are you guys prepared? Like, they might not – they might say no spotting, no training partners, no being within 6 feet of anyone at all.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do here. I mean, it's so – I mean, I know they'll be safe, but Arizona, if you look at the states – and what we have going on here, we're pretty minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah. As far as what's you're going in a great down. Spot, aren't you?
Yeah. So it hasn't. Maybe I'm wishful thinking, but I'm hoping it's just minor things. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Phoenix and Scottsdale don't have direct flights from Wuhan coming in all December and January.
Right? Well, I just don't like the. I mean, here's the thing that blows my mind. Okay, so you go to the airport because you need to fly for some reason. So they keep you 6 feet apart, and then they throw you on an airplane where everybody's right fucking next to each other. I mean, at some point. You get there, you know, I mean, yeah. I just think you keep falling back to the same thing. If you're fucking sick, stay home. If you're someone who can die from getting sick, stay home, and everybody else, don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
I think if they just printed exactly what I just said, we would be fine.
Yeah. I think that's the strategy, you know, that'll be the strategy. You know, let's say the gyms do open and there's a bunch of like really difficult restrictions, you know, like, oh, you can only have 20 people and you can only have, you know, everyone has to be 6 feet apart. No training partners, no spotting. Personal trainers must be 6 feet from their clients. No touching, no massage, no like all that stuff. That would probably only last another few weeks anyways. That might be a month of that. But at least you're in the gym.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. I think at this point, people would take, you're allowed to go in there completely by yourself and talk to no one.
So here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. That scenario I just described, that's actually what we could have tried to operate under for like an extra 2 or 3 weeks.
Wouldn't happen then, though.
But people weren't into it.
No, because then they hadn't lost it yet.
Right. They hadn't lost it yet. But once you take it away, everyone's like, oh, all I got to do is stand 6 feet away from everyone and we can just keep training. Okay, let's deal.
Yeah. I think and, for you guys, it was more of a headache, though, than for the clients. I mean, because realistically, somebody comes in, your ass is in, you know, in the fryer, not theirs.
Yeah, you're, exactly.
You'd and, be you know, policing your gym, you know?
Yeah.
But even now, if you were trying, you know?
The grocery stores have trained everyone now with all their lines on the floor. And yeah. Like everyone's trained now. Everyone's trained up on the etiquette.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like completely different than trying to teach everyone the etiquette from scratch at your business while you're running it. Like that's just, you just fuck. You imagine how many times, hey, can you guys move? Can you guys move? Like you have to just.
Yeah, it would be so brutal. That's why I think now, you know, like you said, you've lost it completely. Getting it back is going to be a pleasure at whatever level it is, I think.
Yeah. I'm
adjusting your lighting.
Really trying to make myself look a little better.
Ron, there's nothing above 10, sir. You're fucking as high as it goes.
Oh, did you see? I'm pretty fresh. Not fresh, but you know, I did a clean up. You know,
you wanted to be fancy. I mean, we're shooting on 420.
Went all down the back.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I don't have much hair on my back though. Anyways, it's not a big deal. Just on the traps, but that's mostly like from the trend.
You think the trend stops there? I heard it goes right to the heart, but anyways, yeah, it's fine.
Right. It's like the only side effect I got from like decades of using way too much juice than I should have is hairy traps. Everything else seems fine.
Yeah, I think you're good with that then. I mean, that's what wax is for. Well, and you're so white, you could just do the permanent hair removal. I can't do that shit.
Ah, yeah.
They wanted a year. No tanning, no spray tanning. And then
yeah,
they could have
the whiter the better, right?
Yeah, and I was like, well, you guys should see my friend Ron. Fucking powder my ass. I mean, this guy will kill this thing. He'll be no hair. He'll be like one of those cats.
Me and James Hollingshead.
I think he's got you.
Well, he's also got like the lighter hair. You know, he's got the reddish. Is it reddy brown? What would you say his hair? Is it reddy brown blonde? I don't know what he's. It's always shaved, so whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, he's got. He might have you beat Evans up there.
Yeah. Yeah, Evan's pretty white. You know, it's a good solid bunch of us that have no cocoa whatsoever in our mix.
You know, Dennis Wolf. Remember when he would send pictures? I was like, is that color or is that less than white?
Well, I used to say is Dennis Wolf had translucent skin.
That's exactly what it is. You can actually watch his blood pressure move.
Right, right, right. Two sets and he's bright red. You know what I mean? I remember seeing Dennis in the gym one time and he was just red, like red, red. But it was just from training, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not, blood
he,
under.
I thought he was sunburned.
Clear skin.
So you got a ton of questions and stuff on Instagram. I know we normally do the story stuff, right?
Yeah. So I did both today.
But you did a feed post, and you got a lot of good questions. So last time I looked, there was only like 10, and now there's way more than that. So did you go through all these?
I glanced at those, and then I also looked at the because like I told you, I did both. So I have, this is where things get ugly, Ron. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I've got about 40 on the story.
So that's 37 disappointed people.
And yeah, whoa. We got to up that number because we got 26 on the regular. So, because I didn't respond to any of these yet. But you know what? I'm going to start with like the important ones.
Okay.
Which I already led you to one, so I think we're going to get this out of the way because it tells me a lot about who you are.
Okay. These are really good. These are – anytime you start a question like that, I'm all for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, this is about you. We need to know. So here's your options.
Okay.
You're either going to never come again for the rest of your life.
Nope.
Or you have to gain 200 pounds that you also carry for the rest of your life, but your orgasms are back.
Oh.
Yeah, these are your fucking options, kid. It's not that easy. 200 pounds. We're not talking about peeled 200 here, kiddo.
So I'd be 455. I was 255 the other morning, buddy. I'm a lean, mean,
like 255
fucking machine, right?
I'm which will be without coming if you make the wrong choice here.
Damn. Yeah, my endurance is high right now.
Now think about it. Done. Damn. Done. Fucked.
Oh, man, because if you're 450 pounds, you're going to die pretty soon.
Valid.
Right. So, you know, probably be a short run.
Well, you're going to be like 50% body fat.
Yeah.
I mean, we just added 200 to 255.
Yeah. And then so like who's going to fuck you anyways? Are you just jerking off all the time?
That was kind of my take on this.
You know, I don't know. I'm, you know, I
go out of legend if you don't come. I mean, just think about that.
Yeah, you can. And also, I am a pleaser.
See?
You know, so, you know, I find the reward in other people's enjoyment. So,
is that why you let me do the show with you? That's so nice.
Yeah. This is just a metaphor of how giving I am. but yeah, I'd probably have to say, hey, you know what? I've had a lot of them. So I'd maybe say I'm ahead. Maybe I've had, you know, a lifetime's worth of good ones. So
good.
That'd be the go.
I think that's an easy choice.
You know, I just like start playing guitar a lot more with my spare time. Get good at something else.
Yeah, because you didn't say you couldn't finish anywhere, just not in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm back. You nailed all my reasons too.
That was a good one.
I told you, sometimes they make you think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we go with deep questions like these, you know. Okay, here we go. Bum-ba-bum. Oh, Jesus. That's a good... What do you think about a collaboration episode with Fuad and Luke?
Like all four of us? Like the four-way split screen?
And Luke already said he's in.
Yeah.
Answers immediately.
Yeah.
We're going to need about 4 hours.
Theoretically, very good. Logistically,
almost
four people talking over each other at the same time. But yeah, it'd be fun. I'll do anything with those guys, you know? Whatever.
Absolutely.
We've both been on the show. It's also too, you know, it's funny. When we put up that post, who do you want to see on the show? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, like they haven't gone back and watched all the episodes because they're like, should have Luke on. And we're like,
I think we need to redrop on our new site too. I was actually going to talk to Scott about that because I'm like, oh, I forgot that our first 10 episodes or so are on my channel.
Is it, how many is it? Is it like six or something? There's some on your channel, yeah. Right?
There's I think there's Luke. I think Dana and JP might all be on mine.
They might all be on yours. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know Dana is because she was one of the first.
Yeah.
So I think we need to do a redrop here of all those. Because, yeah, I started answering that, but I got so many of them. I'm like people asking for people we'd already had, you know?
It's funny. There's this girl from the gym who's a huge Daniel Bailey fan, right? Mm-hmm. And she messaged me the other day. She's like, "You guys should have Daniel Bailey on." And I just sent her the episode. She was like, "Oh my God, how did I miss this?" Like, she couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? It was pretty funny.
Asking you shall receive. Ron does not fuck around.
No, no, it was good. It was good. So, yeah, not everyone saw the first round, you know, but it's just funny, too, because, like, I did one of Fuad's first episodes. I think it was episode 4 or something like that.
Right.
And I was one of his first guests. And I've had so many people message me. They're like, "Man, you'd be really good on Fuad's show."
He won't invite me on. Fuad doesn't have me on. You know when you can tell someone's afraid you're going to steal the thunder? Fuad's like, "Oh, but his beard is better than mine."
Do you know Fuad? Like, I'm not sure if you know Fuad. Yeah, okay. I didn't know how many times
he's met. That's why I have to give him so much shit.
You know, there's the odd guy.
Ask, and I'm like, "Oh, here it is. Here it is. He's intimidated."
No, I just, you know how it is. There's always a couple guys that for some reason you just like, how I had only met Evan like a year ago.
Yeah, and you've seen him at Expos for 10 years.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like one of those deals. So, okay. Yeah.
I gravitate towards the people that are as fucked up as me. So Fuad and I got together right away.
Yeah. Okay. What's that? You got another one?
Yeah, dude, I could just run this shit. Give me some details of your current diet and a few examples of meals.
Oh, and okay.
Hold. He loves the podcast and he would love to train at West Coast Iron one day.
Oh, shit. Wow, we got to get those doors open, but always welcome.
Yeah, don't fuck up this answer now. I mean, oh, Jesus. No.
Currently, man, I just do such a simple thing. You know, years and years ago, when I was working with a trainer named Scott Abel, who was way ahead of his time, I worked with him for about 4 years, and I did really well with Scott. I won my first national title in 07, super heavyweight. And, you know, took my physique to another level. It was sort of chapter 2 of my national run was working with Scott, where things got like, "Oh, okay, here we go," you know.
Yeah.
And he just helped me with so many things, but the one thing that he kind of came up with back then was something he called the cycle diet. And it was essentially, you know, you're contest dieting 5.5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like a day and a half or a day or a half day depending on your metabolism, but like a big bodybuilder, you know, could do a day and a half, where you would eat like whatever you wanted.
Right.
Back then, we pushed those days back then.
They were real whatever you wanted.
Yeah, like, you know, because you're in that like fucking, you got to get, you know, all week. So in order to get big, you have to like eat a fucking, like, you know.
This was off season or pre-contest?
Yeah, it was a very versatile diet. You could always adjust it. Like you could throw a half day in, you could throw a big meal in on Wednesday night if your weight was like doing, you know, going down too much or not going, you know, you could pull out the half day. You could like, you know, it's kind of a versatile diet, but it was basically done with like real clean, tight dieting. And then like fucking eating whatever you want. Like it was just kind of a funny way to do it. But Scott just said, he's like, "I don't give a fuck what type of food you eat on your high day. You're in such a hole that you need to fill out and blah, blah, blah." And it worked really well for some people. And it worked really well for me. Like I did the 1 year I worked with them. I did a half day Wednesday night and a day on Saturday where I'd eat whatever I wanted.
Right.
And I'd taken like 10 to at least 10,000 calories, like probably closer to 15,000. Like, so when people talk about Juan Morell doing those big days, I'm like, I did those all the time. Right. I didn't do 20. 20,000 is a lot. Like that extra 5 is a kicker, but I've done 15,000 calories. I've done it dozens and dozens and dozens of times.
Right.
And, you wake up the next day, you're like 10 pounds heavier than the morning before.
Right.
Like you fill out like 8 to 10 pounds of yielded weight, morning weight.
Right. Yeah. You true know? Weight.
And then you're like, your pumps are stupid for 3 days. And then you start to get dieted out. And then you're really hungry Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday comes and you fucking just eat all day again. And it was just kind of fun. And so anyways, I did that all off season. And then when the prep came, all we did was take out the half day Wednesday and I kept my full day in on Saturday and I just got peeled and I grew every single Saturday because the drugs were kicking and stuff. Right.
Right.
And so it was just a crazy prep anyways, but that was just a fun, easy diet. And for my purposes now, I basically just do that, except on my days where I eat whatever I want, I really only have like 2 cheat meals and the other 3 meals are normal diet meals. Like, cause I just don't want to be bloated anymore. And I don't really care if I gain like 3 pounds now on my cheat day. You know, I gained like three, four pounds. The other last week I did 6 pounds because I pushed it up a bit. But yeah, it just feels good. So, but what I eat all day, I mean, I used to eat eggs and oatmeal in the morning with some protein powder. Maybe I'll have a piece of toast, peanut butter. And then my other meals are just like 8 ounces of steak, cup of rice. That's it. And I have right. 5 meals a day. I don't even have 6 meals a day anymore. But my strength is holding really good. In fact, it went up the other day. I had like a really good workout the other day where I was stronger. So I'm eating enough and I'm getting leaner. I'm getting a little bit leaner. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're doing 255 the other day?
Yeah, like that's the lowest I've been in like fucking 12, 13, 14 years.
Yeah, I mean, so you're definitely fucking pretty damn lean if you're 255. I mean, I think anybody who's met you and understands just skeletal size alone, 255 is fucking lean. Like, yeah, no, I don't care, cool. You know, because you're not a lot smaller either. I mean, you are smaller, but it's not like, oh, you have no muscle left. You know what I'm saying?
No, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm at that point. You know when you're dieting and you feel small in your clothes, but then when you look in the mirror, you're like, fuck, I look pretty good.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel now. Like in my hoodies, I don't feel like I look like big at all anymore. But then when I'm pumped and I like maybe afterwards when no one's around, I got the gym to myself, peel off and hit a shot. You know?
You're really going to go there right now? Really?
You know what I mean? You know? So I'm like, fuck, it's not too bad, man. Especially considering, you know, like just running, you know, like just test by itself with absolutely nothing else, you know? So yeah, it's going good. You got dogs visiting you?
Yeah, we have a visitor. Okay. Donna came in to say hi.
How's Donna doing?
4.1 pounds now.
Is she run in the office?
Oh yeah. That's what she came over to check. She wasn't sure about my microphone. We good?
Huh? Make sure it's okay. Up to spec.
We're good. She got a new collar. It's pink polka dots. Same one you used to have. Yeah. So yes. No, she has to, if she comes over, you just stop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
She comes over to check on me. I'm like, you know, I'm on the phone with the president. I'm like, bro, one sec.
I know.
Donna's here. You know what the fuck I'm doing.
Well, he knows who Donna is too.
Well, that's the thing. He would immediately get it. So it all makes sense. It's not a problem. I mean, they faked that show in New York.
I know. Actually, I know.
Toronto. I know. Whatever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, but as far as my diet, we start now. I mean, I took 5 days off. Didn't go to the gym. I didn't really eat. I just like decided. Now that I know things are going to kick back up into normal, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to like chill and see how long I can go. And I was ready to train today, but I don't train on Monday. So tomorrow will be the first day back. And my obsession is, so I brought my waist down based on the weight I'm at right now, about an inch and a half between doing my vacuums every day. And I wear Santi's waist trainer. That's helped. So now I went further in this time around, started thinking about foods that, you know, might cause me any sort of inflammation in my gut,
right.
Pulled those all out. And I'm going to start out with 3 food meals and 3 shake meals, which I've never done. But I want to see is because the amount of food, like it's been so long, you know, I mean, you've been hanging around me, like I haven't tried to grow in years. You know, I mean,
well, aside you know, from tried 500 pounds for reps
in the gym, but not the way I used to, where it was like, let's get as fucking big as possible. Right. So I want to go back to that. But man, when I started eating that diet again, I was like, I mean, I would get 3 meals deep and be like, how the fuck was I doing this?
Man, I know like there's all been all these sort of periods in bodybuilding because it's like, you know, I've been around for 30 of them, but there's been all these periods where like it's kind of trendy to have no shakes at all. And I just haven't seen anything better from that. I always did great with shakes. I got shredded with shakes in my diet. I got big with shakes in my diet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that, like, you know, I mean, I thought shakes were good. My clients have had really good results using just like a good quality whey isolate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's all I'm going to do is grab the isosurge and call it a day.
Yeah. Just give them a good quality whey isolate. I mean, I worked with Chris Aceto, Chad Nichols, my other coach, Scott Abel, all of them had me using whey isolate. Chad Nichols had me using 3 shakes a day
for
most of the time I worked with them, even the contest prep.
Right.
And so people are all like, oh, you know, shakes are bad. Shakes can't get in shape with shakes, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, Chad Nichols used them. Chris Aceto uses them. Every coach I've ever had used shakes. So it's obviously it's mostly solid food, or you just get too hungry when you're dieting.
Yeah, that's the difference. Is now I'm using the shakes. That way I will be hungry when it's time for those food meals. But also, I'm ready to plow a shit ton of food, and the shakes keep my waist tight. When you eat a shake and you feel like you drank a glass of water, you move on with life.
Plus the shakes are – my shakes always had food in them anyways. You know what I mean?
Right.
Blending in like other stuff. You know, if it's off season, I'm blending carbs into them, and you know,
I'll be doing a lot of fats for those meals.
Yeah, fats and all that stuff, right? So I always did great with them. You know, I think liquid food's a good idea. Fuck.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I never got like a giant midsection too. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you at the end of the day, I think that's the big key is as long as you're sticking to quality, it's the number. How high are your calories? Are you getting there? Because it's, you know, I was talking to Dante about it. He goes, you know, it's really great that you used to do all whole foods and that's how you got there. He's like, but would you rather eat 4,500 calories because you keep trying to go for all food, or get the 6,000 you need because you're doing two or three shakes?
Yeah.
You know, and I just got out of the, you know what it was? I just got out of doing them. It's funny, but shakes became my treat. So I would make them into something. It'd be like a fucking milkshake type thing or one of those cakes. And so now it's like, oh, I can actually use them how they were intended and shake them.
Right.
I forgot how you use these things.
Right. No,
I have to buzz down to the store. I laugh, but so we get obviously all the mutant stuff, and I had to call down there and make sure that Firebird had my flavor because I go pick some up today for tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I only buy the vanilla for the treats and shit, and I don't, you know what I mean?
Oh right.
I need some caramel chocolate in my life. Yeah. Salted caramel.
Yeah. That's amazing. And the peanut butter chocolate I have all the time. That's a staple.
Yeah. See, these are the, oh, by the way, Dusty20, IamMutant.com.
Oh yeah. 20. You know what? Another reason I always had shakes was I always had the appetite of a bird. Right. Like for a guy my size, you know, like I was never that hungry.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd go to a buffet and have one plate of food, and I had like 320 pounds, and then maybe I'd have a plate with some junk on it because I thought, well, I'm at a buffet, I should get my money's worth.
Right.
Like I was always kind of like,
now I go just, to the chocolate fountain.
Yeah, I was never a giant eater. Right. But you know, it's interesting because the only times I was able to eat massive meals was when I was doing that diet where I diet really hard all week and then have a day where I could eat, because your appetite's so jacked, right?
Yeah, that's like prep. You can every time Chris will give you a cheat meal, he's like,
no
two,
problem.
Two double burgers and two fries. You eat them in 26 seconds. And you're
I mean, in order for me to eat a big meal, I have to have like all the cylinders of appetite stimulation firing.
Right. You know? Yeah. Not 6 months into an off season.
Yeah. Sitting there at 3:30.
I wasn't hungry when I got here.
Yeah, sure. I'll have 12 ounces of steak and 3 cups of rice. No problem.
Yeah. We can't all be Kai Greene who just eats like that.
Here, I let my dog out.
See you, Jed.
So, yeah. I told you, Jed, I got bit real bad. Hey, did we talk about that?
No.
Do you see that picture on my Instagram a couple weeks ago with a big gash in his head?
Where the fuck bit him, and how did I miss that?
Oh, this big shepherd, husky shepherd, real nice dog, but they had just met, and I guess they'd gone on a walk together for a while. Right. And they seemed fine, and I don't know, they were just standing there at the end of the walk, apparently, and the shepherd just bit his head real hard and, like, started shaking him.
Oh, shit.
And Emily got in there, like, right away, and, like, pulled Jedi's head. She said it was in his mouth for like 1 second, but it was like a full second of like, you know, grabbing, you know?
Right.
And she pulled Jedi's head out of his mouth, and she looked, and there's just a big, like the size of a $1 coin, just wide open on his head with his skin peeled back right down to the skull.
Oof.
And she looked on his neck, and there was blood everywhere. So she was freaking out, and she called me, and she's like, I'm like, just take him to the vet. I'll meet you at the vet. So he just hopped in the Jeep and took him to the vet, and I met them there. And they put five staples in his head, staples in his head, checked him out. He's totally fine, except for the five staples in his head. But he was been a real sport about it. He was, you know, like he's been pretty normal since we came home with the staples in his head. He's been himself.
Stitches, you know.
Scars, yeah.
Get you places.
We thought they were going to put a cone around his neck. So he didn't scratch it, but they didn't put a cone, and he hasn't scratched it like hardly at all. He just left it alone. He's been a real champ.
What day was that?
That was over a week ago. So we're supposed to call today to go in to get the staples out this week.
That's it's fucked.
Scary.
And she's lucky too. I mean, beyond the fact it just happened, but usually when a human tries to get in a situation like that, they get fucked up too.
It was just one of those situations. So, you know, pretty scary. I mean, you know, that we were pretty.
How did the other dog owner handle that situation?
Well, I'm not totally sure exactly what, she's a friend of Emily's, right? And they were all just in shock.
Right.
Also, it's like.
It's one of those spots where you're kind of like, well.
Yeah.
The right thing to do is hand you this vet bill.
Right. You know what? That's another thing was that I was like, oh, okay. It's going to be like $600. Like, right. I don't know. I'm just assuming this.
Through a number. Yeah.
You know, like if, you know, if they would have told me it's 500, I would have went, okay. But they were like, oh, yeah, it's $138. And I was like, really? That's fucking awesome.
you're like, oh, that's five staples, right?
Yeah. And then like it was funny because like I'm on the phone driving. I'm like, hi, we're bringing our dog in right now. He got bit, you know, and I didn't know how bad it was because I was like just hearing Emily over the phone. And
well, I have to hear blood everywhere.
Yeah. So I'm really worried. Like at this point, I'm really worried. Like I'm worried is his neck, bro. I don't know what's going on. Right.
Right.
And so I'm trying to stay calm driving to the vet. I think it's way worse than it is. And the vet's like, oh, well, the doctor just happens to be on her way in. She'll be here in 10 minutes. So yeah, you can just bring your dog right in. So it's just worked out.
Like, perfect timing.
You know? So yeah, that was, you know, kind of the only real unfortunate thing that's happened with the dog, you know, a close call though.
Yeah. At least it was a small unfortunate. That could have been real ugly.
The dog's your size wouldn't have.
Oh no. Good. She would have been gone for sure. The bite alone would have happened.
Jedi's 15 pounds. You know, your dogs are like four.
Yeah, she's four. Yeah. She's four and he's like nine. So yeah.
Like, and he's kind of
farewell.
Like Jedi's kind of he's sort of a athletic, sturdy terrier like type dog. You know what I mean?
Isn't he technically a space dog? I mean,
space dog. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't really know how this whole thing works, but
yeah.
I'm sure there's something different with his gravity and ours. Maybe the bite wasn't as hard.
No.
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott here. I'm going to jump into this episode of It's Just Bodybuilding to shout out our great sponsor. So first of all, thanks for listening. And second, I promise to try to keep this short. Guys, TrueNutrition.com is a company that believes in creating a high-quality product and delivering it to you at a fair price. Everything is third-party tested. They have just about every protein powder there is under the sun. Plus, they have a ton of flavors. You can customize everything. Go to their website and check it out for yourself. Besides their great protein powders, they also have oatmeal blends, health supplements, performance supplements. I use their citrulline malate and their beta-alanine every day that I train. So check out their website. I promise you there's going to be something that you could use, something that you need. And guys, if you shop with them and you use our code ADVICES, it will get you a discount. And plus, it will help to support our programming. I know there's a lot of companies out there with a lot of codes. Well, guys, I can tell you that this directly supports ADVICES Radio Network and Think Big Bodybuilding Media so that we can keep doing what we're doing. I'm grateful to have a company like True Nutrition that we can believe in, and I'm grateful that True Nutrition believes in us.
We have another, what's the next question?
Dude, I got a million. Shit.
I know.
Okay, ba-ba-bam. Oh, okay. Oh, I don't really care about this, but here we go. What's your take on different protein sources that we don't hear much of? Lean pork, loin and ground. I don't know what that means. Ground beef, chicken thighs.
Okay.
And I use all of those except for pork in clients' diets. So
I'm just not a fan of pork. I just don't really like pork. I've never been like a bacon guy. I've never really liked ham. And, you know, my mom used to make pork chops once in a while, but I've never bought pork at a store in my life. I'm just not a fan of pork, so I just don't use it. And as far as like ground beef, I mean, I've used extra lean ground beef a lot, especially when I was younger and, you know, on more of a budget and stuff. I used a lot of extra lean ground beef, like fucking way too much for anybody's own good, you know? So a lot of that. And as far as chicken thighs go, well, I actually prefer the ground turkey that isn't all breast. You know,
the 93.7 and stuff.
Yeah, whatever it is. Like the ground, the extra lean ground turkey where it's like half thigh, half breast, you know, that's the turkey, the ground turkey I like the most.
Yeah.
There's no problem with any of those sources. I mean, you know, they're all fine sources to use. You know, I just use what you like. You know, what's your budget like? They're all fine though.
And that's why I use a lot of the, you know, the chicken thighs too, is because it's a higher fat item without adding fats in another way, without getting to the expense of red meats. So that's a pretty common thing. When I've got someone's calories super high and we need a little more and they just don't have the appetite, I'm like, oh, well, we just flip these two things for each other and should be good to go.
You know,
it's not gonna be harder to get those down. So here's one. Do either of you stick to a daily 1.5 to 2 grams per pound body weight of protein like Dante advocates, or is your intake lower? What kinds of differences have you noticed from that level of intake versus lower daily intake, like maybe a gram per pound?
My personal experience is that a gram per pound was totally fine if the calories were high enough from carbohydrates and fats. Because carbs and fats are protein sparing. So if I was taking in a shit ton of carbs and fats, I could get away with, you know, 1 gram per pound of protein and feel great in the gym, be strong and recover well and all that stuff and put weight on and everything. So it was all the, as far as like, you know, but then when you're dieting, that's when the protein would always be at least 1.5 for me.
Right.
I never really pushed 2 grams. I don't think. Unless I was on like no carbs at one point or something and I was just like, you know, just pushing it or something. But yeah, that was pretty much how I've always been. And right now I take in about 1.25 grams per pound.
Right.
Seems to be fine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 1.5 pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
And that's just, I think most of that is just, it's normal. But I do think, I mean, I shouldn't say think, I know it's actually a scientific fact that if you're utilizing and digesting your food properly and muscle is the goal, you will get more if you're running that protein at around 2 grams per pound and deducting from other places as far as tissue gain. The question mark becomes, will you digest it? Will you eat it? And when I say eat it, will you get it down? Because eating simple, you know, things that are easy to get down in smaller amounts is easier than more steak, more chicken.
Right.
But same as you, I do end up around 2 grams per pound when I'm dieting, which is just, it's just how it progresses with Chris. You know, my off-season protein sources might be 10 ounces, sometimes even 9. And then by the end of prep, I mean, I've got meals that are 16 ounces, you know, and it's all random. Like, I mean, I told you before, when Chris saw what 16 ounces of cooked salmon looked like on an entire plate and then a second plate for the greens, he was like, "I have you eating that?" I'm like, "Every night."
I remember doing
my fucking mind.
Remember him making me eat 16 ounces of sirloin steak before bed.
I'd be perfectly okay with that. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, no, especially during prep. You must have enjoyed that meal every night.
yeah. But you know what? Like 275 pounds dieting, I'd still be on 500 protein. So that's just under 2 grams. Yeah. Right up there.
Yeah.
I saw that one too. I was going to ask that one if you didn't ask it.
Yeah. We'll grab one that you are looking at here.
What's your biggest peak week mistake?
All right. This is terrible. Oh, this is so bad. I've never made a peak week mistake. And what I mean is I've never done anything where things went sideways and couldn't be recovered. In fact, I've never done anything drastic enough where they even went sideways. We have made adjustments based on, oh, you need a little more. But Chris, as you know, is and he's taught this to me and I teach it to all my clients, is we don't shoot for 100%. 95%. Is probably a win. If you hit 100, that's great. But if you go for 100 and miss, that's 80%. And you see that with guys where they fucking take the big shot and sometimes they nail it. A big one was Mark Dugdale at the Olympia one year. He did just a junk load, but he didn't do like, Skip used to teach the skip loads where you would keep track of what you ate for that crazy day. Yeah. So you knew what was going to happen. He just fucking went for it. And because he had to make weight, I think it might have been in 202, maybe 212, I'm not sure. But he had squeaked in, and his wife would like look at him and go, "I would eat some more." She's like, "Of what?" She's like, "Ice cream." Like they did that and nailed it. He never did it again, and he tried that same thing multiple times. For us, it was always, I mean, people were disappointed, like, oh, how was your carb up? I'm like, I would eat 10 ounces of potato with every meal. What else? Have a muffin.
Right, right, right.
You know, so it's hard to make a big mistake, is my point out there. I don't use a ton of diuretics. If I take a half a diazide the night before a show, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need 5 days like some guys do, or a huge amount. I came prepared for the first show I worked with Chris. I took one half a diazide, lost like 12 pounds,
and was right.
completely wacky the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I only – so I did 24 shows. And
I've done 8 for those who want to do the math.
8.
Might be 10 now.
So I remember there was only one show where – I woke up the next day and looked better.
Oh, which was this?
2008 in Montreal.
Who were you with?
That was the last year I worked with Scott.
Okay.
And, you know, we just kind of did what we did for all the other shows that we did, and it always worked really well. Like, my previous two shows had been, like, the best two shows I'd ever done.
Right.
And we're like, well, let's do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't quite know what it was.
Did you know the morning you woke up for the show that you weren't quite there?
Yeah, I woke up and I was like, oh fuck,
because you know what that usually gave you.
Yeah, like I normally woke up the morning of the show and be like, oh, I'm so dry and sharp that it's retarded, so I have to like eat and rehydrate a bit.
And you were what this time in comparison?
I was like, oh my god, I'm so flat that I've lost cuts.
When the flat, you're so flat, it looks like fat.
Yeah. And so, you know, I remember eating like a big breakfast with a lot of sodium.
Right.
And drinking a whole liter of fluid.
Right.
And sipping on some flat Pepsi backstage.
Right.
And I started to see veins come out. I was like, okay, fuck. And I'm drinking and up. But I was obviously, you know, you're worried about how much can you. But and I was like, you know, I was just so stressed. And
your midsection is always so good. You definitely don't want to sacrifice that shit.
Yeah, especially if you're not huge and round. And so I was just a shit morning. And looking back now, I should have hammered in way more fluid at 7 in the morning.
Right.
And way more food and just let it soak. Right. But I was trying to like get it in without blowing myself and I just didn't really know how to do it. I guess I at the time I just wasn't, you know, it never happened before. And,
you have 12 years more experience now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so I remember I went on stage in the morning and there was 30 guys in the super heavyweights that year. Huge class.
That's one class, kiddos.
Yeah. And first call out me and Ben, and then they had one guy on each end.
Right.
Because I'd beaten Ben the year before.
Right.
So they just called me and Ben, and then they added two guys. There was only 4 guys. They did the call out. They didn't move us.
Right.
And then they put us away, and we stood there for the rest of the morning. So I knew that me and Ben were top two right away. But right. I knew I wasn't at my best. I knew my pecs were flat, and I was – and then after the morning, I just – and then also Ben had done the North Americans a week before, and he was super flat and depleted, but he was shredded, and he got second.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just ate all week and he showed up and he was like big and full.
Right. Yeah. Blown out.
He had the look where standing there, he looked soft with no lines.
Right. But then he hit something.
Then when he hit a pose, everything went because he was super full.
Right.
So I was like, oh, fuck, he might have got me today. And I was pretty upset. And then after the morning show, I drank like, fuck, I must have drank a gallon of fluid and ate like a big greasy burger, and it was just like, fuck, you know, and I was putting right. sea salt in my water and I was drinking. And I was just like, and then I came back and I remember I stripped down at the night show and I was standing by the side of the stage and Ben walked up to me and he goes, dude, what the fuck did you do?
He's like, thank God this guy wasn't here this morning.
And I go, oh, I drank like a whole gallon of water, man. And I ate a bunch of shit. And he goes, he goes, no, okay. And yeah, I wound up taking second to him, but that was the biggest fuck up. And then the next morning, I ate a whole pizza that night.
Oh, Jesus, you kept
entire,
it going.
An entire large pizza. I don't think I've ever eaten a whole large pizza before because I'm not a huge eater. Ate a whole large pizza and some ice cream. Woke up the next morning, and The next morning after the show, my glutes were the most striated they had ever been in my life.
Yeah. So yes, guys, sometimes you actually are better the day after.
So
that's 0.01% of the people. Yeah, who think they
one
are.
Show. And it was definite. It wasn't in my head. It was absolutely definite. I was better the next day, like way better. Right. And rounder, harder, had the silky thin skin, you know, the shrink wrap look.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ah, fuck, man, I can't believe this. And looking back on it, I don't think it had anything to do. I don't think the mistake was I overdid it the last 2 weeks going in.
Right.
So I you know how if you've got foundational fullness, you right. can handle diuretics better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when when you have like the only fullness you have is just basically water and salt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real, like, you know, you're flatter and more depleted than you realize, but you've got that fake fullness.
Yeah.
And then you take a diuretic, you just go. Poof,
yeah.
Just yeah, shit.
It's gone. Yeah.
You know, so I think it was just me killing myself. You know, I was like doing too much cardio and, you know, pulling out some carbs here and there to be extra cut.
Right.
You know, and I think I was just so depleted that when we did the load and took the diuretics, it wasn't nearly enough. And then the diuretics were too much and it was just a shit show.
Well, second at Canadian Nationals after that mess, we're calling a victory. And I mean, you know, for the rest of us, when we fuck up, it's like, oh, well, here comes 11th place.
Yeah. It was. But that's, you know, that's just how it goes. But yeah, that's my story. I've told that story to a few people when they're like, oh, have you ever looked better the next day? I'm like, once.
Out of 24 shows.
Yeah, it's a good feeling to not look better the next day because at least you know you nailed it. You're like, okay, well, I was as I was going to get.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no. I think in 2011 I did that, but I was better 3 weeks later.
Oh, right.
I had to get back up to a body weight that was actually supposed to be on my frame.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so we're switching gears on you. The fuck did I just go? Oh, okay. What are some of your goals professionally and personally post-competition phase of life? You're already there.
Well, yeah, the gym and coaching people, you know. I really enjoy coaching, you know, coaching serious people. I don't care what level they're at. People ask me all the time, oh, do you want to get more pros? I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
They're great to work with, obviously, because, you know, they're probably more genetically talented and really serious and dedicated and, you know, so pros are great to work with. You know, I've got some that I work with, but I don't care what level people are at. I just want them to be serious and want to be their best. You know what I mean?
You know, find that when you work with someone that's newer or even just a gen pop person that you can almost change their life versus change their placing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, just had so many rewarding experiences from like weekend warrior competitors.
Right.
You know, like some of my favorite competitors I've ever helped are like the dudes that are like, man, I've been training for 27 years and my wife's going to let me do one show.
Right.
And they just fucking want to do it so bad. And they were huge Arnold fans and they fucking love Dorian Yates and they just want to, you know what I mean?
Is there one crack at the Olympia right now?
Yeah. That's always a lot of fun, man. You know,
right.
I told a story the other day about this dentist that I know. He was my dentist back in Edmonton. He's like, I wanted to do one show. The wife says I get one show. And so I said, because he's like a big dude. He's like 6'2" and like jacked, you know?
Right.
I'm like, you better win it. Don't fuck around. And he's like, okay. And then so he did it and he got his glutes ripped and we won the overall.
Right.
It was awesome. And then he drove away in his Porsche, you know?
And his wife was like, never again. She didn't even know why she didn't want to do it before. But after the end of that 16 weeks, she knew why. Yeah.
And then I said, if you win the overall, you got to clean my teeth for free.
Did he do it?
Oh, yeah.
That's a fucking. Yeah. See, now in these days, you film that shit. You're like, here comes my.
I know. This is back for social media. It was like, you know.
You know, I'd be filming everything. I'd be like, oh, we got to film this then.
Yeah.
You'd be filming me making my appointment with his secretary backstage holding the trophy.
Yeah. All the shit.
I want whitening too.
Yeah. You know.
What about personal side? That was part of the question.
Personal goals?
Yeah. With, you know, now essentially, I guess for the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, the gym's a huge part of that. you know, I know that's a business goal, not a personal goal, but it is sort of personal, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, you know, the brand really matters to me. And, especially with this right now, like all this stuff has made, you know, it's what made us all realize how fragile the bodybuilding industry is.
Yep.
Like just, oh, whole thing's turned off. Flick.
Yep.
Here's the switch for turning off the bodybuilding industry. We'll just flick that for 3 months.
Look, we just killed Dusty.
Yeah. Like, so we realized that. So I think it's made us all think, fuck, you know, we got to work really hard to fortify what we do for next time there's a interruption of some kind.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, we didn't foresee this. What else are we not foreseeing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone foresaw this. So.
Yeah. You know, we talk about it, make movies about it. You know, we make movies about asteroids hitting the Earth too. Ha 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 ha. Yeah.
Hey, easy. I got plans next weekend.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, so yeah, there's, you know, you just want to get back to what you do. And you want to make sure that you don't take it for granted.
Right.
And you want to make sure that you work, you know, it's just, you know, just, yeah, I think for a lot of us, you know, business is okay. Cause business is hectic and business is fucking hard. Like I know a lot of people think they run a business,
right?
But, you know, come on, an actual fucking business where you have like, you know, big overhead and employees, and it's fucking hard to run that. And, you know, I think we're going to come out of this thinking, okay, it's not enough to just, cause I think a lot of us get in the habit of, we just make sure the boxes are ticked.
Yep. I say it all the time. Are you just checking the box?
And it's not that you're lazy. It's that you're frantic.
Yeah. Like, there's so many boxes. You got to get them checked.
Like, okay, the fucking bills are paid and everyone's paid and the members are happy and there's no emails in the folder and, there's nothing here and the bank account has this much in it. Okay. And rent is due this day. Okay. Fuck. Whew. Okay. We smoked February. We got two months left. And then, you know, February comes and you do February because, you're also doing your own business. You know, me and all the other guys have their own businesses.
Yep.
So you're all doing your own business. But now, you know, you're going to have to make sure you don't fall into that trap. And everyone falls into that trap. Everyone spends a certain percentage of the year frantically making sure the boxes are ticked because their kid's sick.
Right.
Or their wife's pissed off at them, or they got to go see their family, or there's something else pulling you away from your, you know, when everything's firing on all cylinders, you're this proactive businessman.
Right.
Like, okay, next month we got Valentine's Day, so let's make sure we got the, you know, you're proactive, right? But then stuff comes up in life and you just, your time gets altered, your use of your time is changed, and we're gonna have to make sure, I think after this, you know, we're gonna be more conscious of what we allow to pull us away,
right?
What we're trying to do, you know what I mean?
Well, I think you guys started it as, I mean, I think you realize you have a real business on your hands now, and there's a difference. Like, you guys wanted to keep alive a gym in the beginning, and now you've got a community. Like, you have something that's, I think, you're just fortunate, truthfully. I mean, you're doing the work, but you're fortunate because, like, I just had a client ask me, what would it cost or what would it take to open a gym in Scottsdale? And my answer was stupidity. Because you'll die. They will kill you. You will not make it. I mean, unless you've got $1 billion to play, don't. I mean, you know, you just don't want to get in that fight. It's like, that's like opening up a rival to Costco.
Right.
The fuck would you do that? Like, keep your goddamn mouth shut and just do something else. But no, I mean, I think that's a big key for you guys too, is you guys have all, you were in from jump. I mean, this is outside looking in, but I think everyone realizes, like, they love that fucking place. All your business partners, all your members. Yeah. And that just changes the game. You know what I mean? Cause like you said, this is personal. It's business, but it's personal.
Yeah. It's personal, you know, and you know, right. There's a lot of businesses aren't going to make it. So you want to make sure you're not one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, oh, fuck, you know, I would take this fucking, this would be real, real shitty to be one of the guys that doesn't, you know,
right.
Doesn't come through. So you start, you know, you have to make sure you're on top of shit, covering all your bases, you know, I think one of the main things with businesses coming out of this is, businesses have to make sure that they don't just figure out a way to cover the losses.
Well, the thing is, everyone's just trying to survive. It's not business.
No. Because if you just we're going to be closed for 3 months, so we have to come up with this amount of money. You actually need to come up with double that.
Well, for sure.
Because the 3 months after you reopen are going to suck.
We're not going to have a light switch and everything comes back.
You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a whole bunch of people not going out still. People are broke. People don't have any money. People are cutting their expenses. So there's going to be like a real shitty 3 months after. So you have to fortify your business for a bad economy.
Yep.
You know? So, because a lot of people are just doing the math. They're like, rent plus bills plus this, I need this. It's like, no.
You know what we felt? Talking to other people that, like, I have a friend that's doing a house flip. And everyone is crying about, holy shit, I could lose my business, but they're crying and they're not doing anything.
Right.
She's like, I'm trying to give you $200,000. You want to focus on me maybe? Because 200K and the job takes 5 weeks. Like, you know, and we're fighting for like, she's fighting to get permits and shit because truthfully, people freeze when they're scared. Mm-hmm. You got two options, the guy who fucking runs and the one who freezes. And I think a lot of people, whether they want to admit it or not, have taken this as their out, whether they meant to or not.
Right. You mean a lot of people are just sitting at home on the couch waiting crying for it to pass?
Yeah. Well, they're crying. Yeah. I can't believe this happened. Well, it fucking happened to everybody. And someone, in fact, one of my good friends that owns a supplement store here, is cashing in on it. I think he's busier than he's ever been.
Yeah.
And well, I'm so like, how the fuck did you do that?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, because if you are that proactive guy that immediately steps back and goes, okay, what's changed? What do I adapt? Oh, fuck, delivery. Okay, we're delivering now. We can deliver same day. Perfect. Right. Like, oh, you don't want to come out? Cool. I'll leave it on your fucking doorstep. And that shit he implemented the first day that they shut us down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about that. Now it's like your prices beat Amazon and I get it faster. Okay, you're my guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, he's been killing it with that shit. So, yeah, I'll be I was curious if you had any, like, Ron, you have no actual, like, just Ron is selfish goals.
Oh, well, no. Yeah, I guess I do. So here's one. I started playing guitar again.
There you go.
Yeah. So I actually dug out my Gibsons and I started, like, because I fuck around on the acoustic sometimes, but I don't really play it for any extended period of time.
Right.
But I dug out my amp and my Gibsons and I plugged them in the other day and I set up a few pedals and I jammed for a little bit. It was a lot of fun. So I got to start doing that more because I used to play guitar a lot more than I have in the last 10 years. Man, right. I got rusty. Holy fuck. Damn.
You're like, my fingers don't move like they used to.
No. Yeah. Emily has the same complaint.
You just file that under age for her, though. You can't file it under rust, buddy. That's no good.
Yeah. So it's just funny, but no, yeah, the fingers need some work. But it was a blast. But I'm gonna start doing that more. That's just kind of something, you know. Like everyone's trying to like read a book, you know. Everyone's trying to read more or something. That's my self improvement.
There you go.
Start playing guitar a little bit more, you know, because I used to play every day for like half an hour, you know, 45 minutes. I'd jam, you know, and there was a point where I was like, fuck, I'm like getting okay, you know, like
right.
I set up like 10 songs on a playlist.
Right.
And I turned the volume just right. So my amp matched really well and I could hear like what was going on. And I just play along for like 10 songs in a row and just jam with it. It was a lot of fun.
You so read music and everything too?
No, I used to be able to, cause I used to play saxophone when I was a kid actually.
Right. Your fucking parents hated you.
Yeah. No, I played saxophone when I was like in grade 5 and 6. I think I played for a couple of years.
Right.
So I used to be able to read music and I kind of I still remember a little bit of it. Like I get it, you know, when they're talking about keys and octaves and stuff, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. But no, I just read tab, you know, just read the tabs.
That's fucking awesome. Like, yeah. Basic just, Cliff Notes just, version.
Google up Metallica tabs and just start jamming.
Awesome.
What about you? What about you? You can't dodge that one.
Oh, that's a tough one. Okay. I mean, the my stuff is all happening now.
Okay.
I don't really wait. Like, this thing I don't understand about people, but to me, when you've been bodybuilding as long as I have, it's just life. Like, it doesn't take me anything to eat 6 meals. So I can run 3 businesses and bodybuild. you know, and you keep good enough people around that during those last 6 weeks of prep, yeah, it's, you know, things aren't going to be perfect during that time period on the other areas, but if you built it right, it'll be fine. So I have one solid business that I'm hoping will be up and running shortly. Just finishing off some detailed stuff with that. And I'm starting to buy properties. It's like a new obsession. So yeah, that's one of those things. I'm like, I have to do this.
I got so much to say.
You know? So, you know, this weekend I have a new idea. So there's just like, it keeps turning around. I went from renting this place to, you know, I rented this condo, which I was going like, it'll work for a year. Then this whole thing went down and the market's in a sketchy place and the air conditioner went out. And it's like, hey, I have an idea. How about I just take your fully perfect place that you built and get it off your hands before it gets ugly. So we're working out a little 6 month extension and then take it.
Oh, so you might buy the place you're in.
Yeah. And then but I'm not going to stay here then. I'm going to bounce around to a couple of spots and just use this, you know, as a, like a short term for 6 months of the year. And then 6 months of the year, it'll just be long term. That's what people do here is you rent it out furnished for 6 months and then you know, survive. And then the next 6 months you make a fortune because you're in North Scottsdale where people want to be.
Right, right. That's cool. That's cool.
You know? Yeah. So simple thing there. And then the personal thing is I'm absolutely going to start traveling. I haven't taken a vacation, but you know how it is when you travel as much as we do, you're like, I don't really want to.
That's exactly why I don't go anywhere.
I don't want to go.
Oh, I got a mutant trip in a month and I got to go to Germany and I got to go, you know, I'm going here and there in Chicago and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You know?
That's how I've always been. I was traveling so much I didn't want to. But then you start to think about it. It's like, it ain't the same. Like, because if I go on a trip, bodybuilding will stay home. Like, all of it.
Okay.
I won't worry about eating. Like, I would go do a trip for a week or two and then come back. So the goal is two a year, which obviously this year will probably be one, if even. And then get cranking. But I've already found my spots. And I wish I could pull his name up. I named a couple places. And I think I should clarify. But a European guy fucking hit me with like everything. If you go there, do this fucking list. I'm like,
right, right.
Yes.
I was going to say when you're talking about properties, I was going to say that, you know, my goal is to get a property. And I was like this close to buying one a few months ago, if you remember.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that came up that I really liked. And then this hit. And I was like, oh, my God, am I really lucky I didn't buy a fucking property and have like some renter telling me they're not paying rent.
Right.
And, you know, like just, you know, all that stuff. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, that's the little message I got was just because something disappoints you.
Right.
Doesn't mean it was a bad thing. You'll get another shot. You know, now maybe property values drop a little bit and it's an even better time to buy.
They will.
You know what I mean? So that's, I'm just trying to look on the bright side.
No, for sure. For sure. I get that too. You're like, fuck, you know, I should have done that then. It's like, you know, even Chris is saying, don't really buy now. Hold up.
Right.
You know, cause he thinks there'll be a drop. You know what I'm saying? Bum, 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 bum. I already asked that. Okay. This is one to kind of right up your alley. What are your thoughts on some of the gym shaming that goes on, mainly the franchises, where places like Planet Fitness want to shame hardcore guys versus like some of the prettier gyms? And this is called Motivate here in Ontario, making people try to lose weight, feel out of place. So as a gym owner, like, what's your take on that marketing stance?
Yeah, very strange. I guess there's, you know, you have to remember these corporations are not thinking like anyone who's actually in the fitness industry.
Right.
They're using focus groups that consist of people who half of them probably have never been to a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know anyone who works out, don't have any friends that are bodybuilders, don't know anyone who's fit. These are just like, these focus groups they're using are probably a mix of the most common random people with people who casually use gyms. And they, you know, what's your favorite color? Does this color make you feel safe? Does this color make you feel happy?
Right.
Does this color make you feel energized? Like, that's literally how they're building these gyms. And Dusty's yelling. Felt like I was watching an old kung fu movie there.
Yeah, my voice comes out now. No.
Want to fight? Fight me.
It's exactly what it was, only they were already fighting.
Yeah. So yeah, that like those gyms like Planet Fitness and a lot of that, like they're those big corps, they're doing focus groups with like every little aspect is all calculated to just try to make people the most people feel comfortable.
See, I think, I mean, to answer his question from my stance, I have been considering opening a space. I saw a dream space this weekend that someone fucked up. But anyways, 2,200 square feet. Long, perfect fucking space for a gym. Fucked it up. Anyways, I want the spot. I want to open like something like that for fun, for me, like as a don't lose any money and don't try to make any money. Like literally just pay the bills. I would lose the money on buying the equipment, which is fine. And I've considered doing something like that where 20, 25 people just cover the nut and that's it. We all have a key done. But if I was going to open a gym, I would open a Planet Fitness. I would open an Orange Theory. I wouldn't open something I would use because what I want won't make you money where I live.
Right. Right. Right.
I think that's where people get astray. Like, I have no offense to the plan of Planet Fitness. I think it's genius. They really, what they're saying is we want people to feel comfortable enough to buy a membership and then stay home because it's so cheap and not cancel their memberships. And you know, Ron, like that's part of my plan. If I open this gym is getting the 8 stacks from Planet Fitness because they're brand new. And like, all you gotta do is have them powder coated when you get them. You're buying a brand new used piece of equipment, which they make them flip out every 3 years.
Yeah. No, that's so what all that's of what their I, fucking we got a equipment bunch of is new. Fitness cardio.
Yeah.
Back when we opened. Yeah.
I mean, it's genius. So like, you know, for me, my answer to that question is it's fucking genius because I'm not thinking with emotion as a bodybuilder. And frankly, I don't want to go there. So it's cool, you know, but it would be nice for someone like my mother who would not be comfortable unless I was with her in a big ass gym to go in and know that, well, fuck, nobody really knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
no. So I'm not the one in Gold's, you know, getting murdered. And I don't know if you saw, but like a huge stack of Gold's gyms are going under.
Yeah, a bunch of corporate ones. Yeah.
And you're not going to hear that about Planet Fitness.
Well, 24-Hour Fitness is also looking at bankruptcy protection right now, too. I guess they're in debt. Like they have like $164 million.
Well, yeah, because they also bought a bunch of chains. At one point, yeah. So they moved in, and down here they bought all the Pure Fitnesses. Right. You know, so yeah, they've made some. That's not shocking.
No, so they mean you know, I mean no, it's LA possible.
I like yeah. LA Fitness bought Pure.
LA Fitness,
yeah.
So yeah, it's possible. I mean, 24-Hour Fitness in really rough shape right now too, and they have like 600 locations or something like that.
Well, I think that's the problem though. Here's what people don't realize, and now we're way off fucking track. Just because you have a huge you're a big company. It also means all your expenses are higher.
Yeah.
So when your doors get shut down, just like everybody else, it hurts faster. Like everyone thinks there's just this huge amount of money just sitting there so I can keep these 600 gyms rolling for 3 months empty. That's not how it works because the amount that every fucking gym costs is retarded. I mean, I know people with monster businesses that could die over this.
And what it is,
they didn't
too.
Fuck up. It's just that's you stopped making money. It turned off the fucking water, and these guys still want theirs.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is these giant corps. So, you know, Gold's Gym, they even straight out said that the 30 that they closed. So, you know, people have to remember there's the franchise Gold's and the corporate Gold's.
Yep.
And the franchised ones are owned by someone else, right? And they pay a fee. Yep. And they still have to follow all the rules. So it's the same gym. But, corporate is closing 30 of their own gyms, saying they were the ones that were in the red already anyways.
Yeah, give it out.
So these big corporations that have, say they have 100 locations, chances are 30 of them are in the red and the other 70 cover the bills for the 30. And they're just trying to get those 30 into the black so that they're making a profit. And then the pandemic hits.
Yep.
So they're like, well, cut the fucking fat, and they just close 30. Boom. And now they're hoping to reopen and actually make money off the ones that were solid before.
Right. So yeah, that's just good strategy. Business, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's the big key in why those guys are more successful sometimes than passionate, because they have no emotional connection to any of them. It's just, is the writing at the bottom black or red?
Yeah.
Is it a lot of black? Okay, I love that one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You ever been there? No.
Yeah.
I don't work out.
Yeah. I don't want to go there and ruin it either.
Yeah, exactly. It's already fine. Okay. I actually had a really good one here. Bum, bah, bah. Okay. This one, and I think it's for everybody, but okay. This one is for the ladies, please. At the end of a heavy, intense training week, muscle recovery does not feel optimal. Body just feels ravaged still. Everything else is on point, sleep, food, etc. Do we go balls to the wall to begin the next block, or should we start a lighter load? What are your suggestions? Would you both give your female clients? Okay, Jesus. By the way, balls to the wall, ladies, love it.
Well,
are you looking for someone? What are you doing?
I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to think. Maybe they just need one more extra day off.
Right.
Sometimes one extra day off can make like all the difference in the world.
Agreed.
You know, like just instead of training, have a 2-hour nap and then still go to bed that night.
Right.
And just call it like an ultra recovery day. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes that can be great. I mean, you know, I remember always reading about how Dorian, you know, it all comes back to when I was young and I was reading about Dorian. He said he had no problem walking into the gym
and walking out,
doing a warm-up set with 135 and going, you know what? I'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
He had no problem with that. And he did it. Did it when he had to. And it wasn't being a pussy. It was because he wanted to fight the best fight he could at that workout.
Yeah.
And so he would just go home. And, you know, there's also, that's just being in tune. Like, I remember reading about this one Olympic swimmer. I fucking can't remember his name. I think he had a mustache, which is kind of funny because it wouldn't now, you know. But it was back in like the 70s or whatever, 80s or whatever. But it was like this one American swimmer. And he would miss practice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd just be like, no.
Wasn't a good day.
Wasn't a good day. And like, yeah, he had all these arguments with coaches and stuff about it. And he'd be like, but then when he would show up to practice, he would smoke everyone.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just know my body, guys. Just leave me alone. He was like, I'm coachable, you know?
It's tricky though, because it comes to a point where how do you argue with the result?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is tough.
You know?
No, I agree with you 100%. I think that's, here's the first thing you have to ask yourself, are you beat up or is your body fried? There's a huge difference. Yeah. I mean, like I feel like I got hit by a truck every week. And you just nailed what happens on the regular. You know, I mean, Will hit me up on, you know, Thursday night. What time tomorrow? I'm like, oh, I'm out for a few days. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Because I just knew. I started, you work backwards. You're like, you know what? No. And then I texted him yesterday. I said, hey, we good for Tuesday? He goes, I had no idea how bad I needed those days off.
Right. He needed
He didn't even know because he was just so focused and he's just, I think he would fucking go to war with me as long as I could go without breaking. But yeah, it was one of those things where it's like when you get locked in, you have to ask yourself that first. And the biggest way to answer that is exactly what you just said. Take a day. Because I find after a day or two, if I'm truly CNS fried, by the third day, I'm not dying to get back to the gym. I'm still like, all right, let's get it, I guess. That means I really shouldn't. Whereas if I'm just beat up, I'm like, all right, so we're going what time? What time now? We're going to go now?
Yeah. It does surprise you. And you also have to give yourself some credit for how, like, you know, I think we're programmed from when we're young by all the nonsense, you know, the psych up nonsense. We're definitely
fucking programmed.
we're programmed that, you know, if you deviate from the plan, you're not disciplined.
Yeah.
And all those things that are true in every other way from, you know, it's all context. So we're like, well, I don't want to be a pussy. I'm not the type of guy to, you know, some other guy's going to go to the gym and train and I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff we say, the, you know, the mantras and all the stuff we have in our heads can sometimes get in the way of just like being objective.
But you know this, and I'm gonna expand this. Sorry, there, question guy. But I had a conversation about this weekend. It's when you understand your body and know when it's time. Like, I believe that you can over OCD yourself in bodybuilding when you think you're doing right. Like when you are so sure you're nailing it because you don't deviate. You close your fucking eyes basically, other than a piece of paper that tells you what to do, and then of course train your face off. I credit Jose a ton for altering the way I do things now. I think we were in Australia for 3 weeks. And I was dieting, just starting. I had been off. I hadn't been training. I just started back in. And I had my diet from Chris. And the first night, I ordered my food. And it was exactly what it was should have been, you know what I mean, but at a restaurant. And then Jose goes, and he'll take two sides of French fries. I'm like, no, I will not take two sides of French fries. He's like, eat the fries. I got this.
Right, so right.
I order them. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, we did not get off our feet all day. You work like this. Trust me, you need it. So the entire trip, there was extra shit the whole way. I lost 6 pounds still at the end of 3 weeks, and we weren't at that phase yet.
Right.
So it's understanding variables and then thinking, you know what I mean? Because sometimes it's like, don't be afraid for that extra thing. Same thing, I used to eat exactly what was on my diet all the time. And now it's like, if I feel the need for something heavier or cheat or whatever, I just order. I didn't think. Done. I'll have that. That brings my overall calories during the off season up, which means chances are when I start my prep, I'll be able to diet on more calories. And then all of a sudden, just pulling that shit away is a drop in body fat.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Now we start the prep. So, but yeah, I mean, everything's come back to that. Is like, you got to pay attention to what you're feeling. You know, so the simple answer is that. Give yourself that day, those 2 days, see how you feel. I don't condone training like a bitch.
Right.
I don't know how. So my advice is if you can't train at 100%, then you need a break.
The only thing, there's another question here. Was that Hulk Blonde's question?
Probably. Let me look.
You just read?
I never set this thing up.
Yeah.
She's a friend of mine.
Okay. So she's awesome. So, and then I see Morgan Mack down here with a question. And his question is, during a cruise phase with the rate of recovery decreased, do you pull back on training in any way? You know, volume, frequency, weight, intensity, if, you know, why not? So that's sort of this similar ballpark of a question.
Right.
You know what I mean? Dealing with, you know, pulling back. Do you pull back at all? And I would say one of the things you can do, which is also an answer to her question, is you could go in and do a rotation where you just don't go past failure on anything.
Right.
That's another thing that works really well. Because, I mean, there's lots of literature with strength athletes where they can go in and do a deload, you know, microcycle of some kind and actually... Yeah, and actually be stronger when they come out of it. You know what I mean? Because they were beat up before or whatever. So we have to remember that sometimes, you know, you can go in and have a short, quick one. Doesn't mean you trained easy.
Yeah, you still trained your ass off, but you didn't
compared to the psychotic shit we do, you know,
like
fucking the crazy shit we do that no one else ever wants to do. But you could still go in and do like a round of body parts, like cycle through your 4 or 5 day split and just not fucking rest pause anything or do drop sets or force any reps or you know what I mean. You can do that too. That's another thing that can kind of bring some life back into you too. Chris would say train like a California pro. That's what Chris would say. And then he'd laugh and then he'd go train like Troy Alves and then he'd laugh and then you know he'd always like have a joke and he'd say,
I
you know
told, in I told between you the first sets, time he said to that to girls, me he's like, you know, I need you to train at 70%.
Yeah.
And I read it and I was like, okay. And then
he's funny.
So I texted him. I go, I don't know what that is. I get laugh out loud. Evan Centipani answered the exact same way.
Yeah. And then like, when I asked,
then he tells you what to do. So what he did for me is he goes, cool. Throw out 30% of the volume. I was like, oh, that's math. I can do that. Yeah, like, then it became very easy. And he goes, okay, that'll work. Because it is hard. Like I said, I mean, you nailed it. Then I'm going to at least do a straight set as hard as I can.
Right, right. So just do one set. You're like, oh, I'll just do one set to death.
Yeah, that'll be the hardest one straight set of my life. But then I don't feel like I just completely wasted my time being there.
For
Morgan Mack, I think what I would say is go back to Chris's thing. There are no rules.
Right.
So I don't because I think that's a flip answer as well. A lot of people, you should be more on top of everything when you're clean. Or when you're cruising or whatever the fuck you do.
Right.
That's when you can't be backing off of training. But that doesn't mean ignore how your body feels. It means everything's optimal. And if it's not optimal, adjust. You know what I mean? So I train the exact same way. And I tell people all the time too, this is how it works with me. I don't get weaker, but I lose a rep. Like when I'm on 200 migs and it's been 16 weeks, You know, I can still pull 700, but it's going to be for a rep less, two reps less. And I'm okay with that. Like, I understand what's happening within me. So I may back down to make sure I'm still in my rep range, but that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then same thing, like you said, if I do need to back down, it goes right back to the same thing. Do I just take a week off?
So I got one, or is it your turn?
No, fuck, we're all stealing them off mine. I'm feeling pretty proud over here.
Mine has to do with the crisis.
Ooh, which one?
Is there anything you've seen on the news regarding the crisis that you think is ridiculous regarding government overstepping or anything like that?
Well, I think news is ridiculous in general.
There you go.
And I was trapped to watch the news this weekend a couple times, and I was like, what's happening? This is painful. No, I mean, to answer the question seriously, yeah, I think there's been a shit ton of overstepping. I don't know how... I don't disagree with it, because here's the thing. You're fucked either way. If they did nothing and they just said, hey, if you're weak, stay home, and then it would be one thing, you know, and then we would all freak out when all these deaths happened. But now, because they locked us down, it's like, oh, you ignored the fucking no. They had two shitty choices. So they chose one, and now they're thinking, okay, with a shit ton of risk, I think we're going to go for it now. I think we're going to start trying to come back. Because I don't really think they have a choice.
Yeah.
But there was so much overstepping. We, you know, in the States, I mean, you know, we lost rights we were guaranteed. And we just let them take them.
Right.
Because fear does that. Fear is an amazing thing. It makes people just fucking sheep up and ignore everything. And look, I get it. I have friends in hospitals. I understand this is no fucking joke. But the bottom line is no one questions shit. And if you guys think we're getting all of our rights back, you're stupid, because we're not. Right. You don't take it away. Same thing at your work. If your work hacked you down to 70%, I promise it's going to be a while before you see 100. And you're going to feel like you got a goddamn raise.
It's like gas prices.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's funny. You know, those who sheeped up are going to go, oh, fuck. You know, like I laughed even with the stimulus. I'm like, $1,200? Cool. Number one, I don't get it. That sucks. Number two, what's I going to do?
Yeah. See, the thing with me is I agree, you know, that meme I talked about where I shared where the guy's got the two sodas.
Yes.
And the one is like, you know, the one soda is doing the right thing and, you know, handling the curve. And then the other soda is worrying about my rights. you know, he's putting both in his cup. And so, you know, I understand that. I mean, obviously, I've talked about I got a brother who's an infectious disease doctor who's, you know, I'm dealing with it on the front line. And, you know, I got a brother-in-law or cousin-in-law who's an infectious disease doctor on the front line as well. And, you know, lots of friends from the gym that work in the healthcare industry. So I've heard lots of like real, you know, real stories about it and real numbers and real concerns from the inside. And I get that we had to do something and it had to be pretty severe. And but I do think that there's ridiculous stuff going on. So for example, I it's all over the news that some state governors made it illegal to buy seeds. So you can't go to gardening centers and buy seeds. I'm like, you'd think with everyone being broke, you'd want as many people to be able to grow stuff.
Yeah. Like,
so if you have a yard, you can't buy seeds to plant a garden. That doesn't make any fucking sense to go, well, we don't want people crowding gardening stores. It's like, well, put tape on the floor like you did at the fucking grocery store.
Exactly.
I don't understand. And then there's certain states that have sent they've called Walmart or whatever stores and they're like, okay, you can't sell out of this section anymore. You have to close this section. No need for people to be going there for that stuff. They're already in the fucking store.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. The only difference is there's a big crowd of people in that section trying to figure out where the fucking stuff is.
Yeah, and then like I saw in the news, they filled the Venice skate park with sand.
Well, that actually, I guess, wasn't even ran down the pipe. They're already undoing it, and someone's ass is in some shit.
they better be. So there's this small amount of concern for the fabric of society that has to remain.
Yep.
And so, okay, we're closing the businesses. We're doing this. We're doing this. Maybe let's not destroy cultural icons that are part of the foundation of the entire community, like the Venice Skate Park. Let's think of all the kids that have the fucking broken homes and alcoholic dads and drug addict moms or whatever the fuck their situation is because they live in LA.
Yeah.
And the only place that they've ever felt safe or secure or like they could had any control of their lives was the Venice Skate Park. So it's right. filled that fucking thing with sand. Sorry, I hit my computer.
You know what I mean? More like you're fierce about it. I like
Yeah, it's fierce. So I'm gonna start rattling stuff like Alex Jones.
I did feel stronger about that when you did that though.
So you know what I mean? Like it's just like the Lee Priest was talking the other day how you're allowed to walk on the beach. But if you sit down, you get a ticket.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we going to micromanage? Are we going to micromanage society?
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a cop looking for people sitting down. Why, if everyone else is losing their jobs, why are we employing more government workers now?
Yeah. Well, it's like, did you see what Sergio put up about what happened in Australia? He was on the beach, and it was funny. I'm going to paint the picture the way he did. A black guy with two white girls on the beach and two cops talking to him, and the headline was that they're cracking down on social distancing at the beach. Meanwhile, he's like, they were asking me about bodybuilding.
Yeah, they were asking
him
about
Kai
Greene.
Yeah, so there's not a single fucking thing about it that was even accurate. It's just a picture taken out of context.
Yeah.
Choice of media, and so people can go, holy shit. And I think – you know, that kind of shit, dude, is just, I tease people about watching the news because I just don't understand when you know they're lying to you. You know it. And you don't know which parts are lies. So I just prefer to dig in and get my information. You know, I have better odds than taking what you feed me. I can promise you that.
Yeah. And I always say that I'm not a big believer in conspiracy theories because I think that most of the time it's just incompetence.
Right.
And that is the absolute situation here with a lot of what's going on, and especially with the media. Mm-hmm. And whether you're right wing or left wing or whatever psychopathic spectrum tip you occupy, the media is just fucking lazy and pathetic. Like how CBS had to admit that they used Italian hospital footage and claimed it was a Manhattan hospital.
Yep.
And so here's the thing. Did somebody diabolically think of doing that, or were they just lazy and they just had this footage and it doesn't really matter what footage they use? Yeah. So they just use it and then they get caught using it. And now it looks like they're conspiring to like alter public opinion. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
So then it ruins the trust that the people have in the media even more. Like it's such a ridiculous, vicious circle of idiocy and laziness and self-serving behavior. And, it doesn't matter whether I look at the media from a, cause I think I'm pretty good at like stepping back and going, okay, I see this guy's opinion.
Right.
And I see this guy's opinion. So whether I look at it from like, you know, a right-wing view of the media or a left-wing view of the media, I can't see how everybody doesn't think it's just a joke.
Right. Yeah, like all of
Can't we all just agree it's just a fucking mess and a joke?
There's better shows on Netflix. It's all I'm going to tell
you. Oh, it's craziness. Craziness. So, yeah, that's the situation. And I just think it's crazy to think that there's some city councilor somewhere that was like, you know what, we got to get all the bulldozers we have over to the Venice Skate Park, even though nobody's at the beach.
Yeah, that part is insanity. Plus, I think those who have been to Venice understand that this is a much bigger deal than any other skate park. I should say any other, but that city is just a different place. I love that fucking place.
Yeah,
You know, I mean, I couldn't imagine. And the other thing is here's a guarantee. Let's say they left it. They're not rushing out to fix it when this is all cleared up.
Right. Someone else is going to have to shovel it out. The kids are
going to. Yeah, I mean, the kids are going to do it because they're going to be like, fuck, dude, let's do this. You know, I mean, it's a hell of a leave.
And there's also other things like, OK, let's say they don't want us around each other. Right.
Yeah.
Well, the grocery store across the street from me used to be open from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Yeah, they've shortened the hours so more people have to jam themselves in.
But now it's 8 to 8 and it's 8 to 6 on weekends.
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense. You'd think you'd want them to operate normal hours and have a lower number of staff and have fewer people at a time. Like, it's just fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's one of those things where we're making decisions without getting all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And that's normal.
That sort of stuff is just...
Yeah, you know, you nailed it. I think that's valid. It's, most of it might be stupidity. A lot of it. Which doesn't shock me. You know, again, checking boxes.
Right.
Okay, we changed something.
Right, we changed something.
You know what I mean?
People feel better about this.
It's the same with people with their gloves and their masks, and they're not thinking about, did you go home and now clean all the things that you bought and touched with that fucking glove, or no? All of it. Because if you put away that box of Cheerios, at some point you're going to touch that shit. Like, so you really did nothing. So,
yeah.
All right. I have to go into the other section here, dude, because we have so many.
Where are we at, by the way? Jesus.
I've now jumped into the back ones. I don't even pay attention to that. You know that.
I know.
That's your job. The adulting is your job. Someone has to cover that.
Ooh.
Go. You have a good one. You went with a new.
No, I was saying the adulting is my job. That's what I was...
Out of our group, I mean, which one did you choose?
I was recoiling at that.
You're all, fuck. Oh, okay, I'm answering a quick one here. The next time I'm doing a cooking video, possibly this weekend, if not next, I'm starting to do guests.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because... Oh, and you know who one of my guests is going to be here shortly? This one's probably a little further down the line. Alina Popa.
Oh, okay, cool.
She's a fucking chef.
Oh,
a real chef. I didn't even know that.
A real chef.
Yeah, like, she actually went to school. I found that out this weekend. I'm like, hold up. This would be hysterical because I suck at cooking and we film it. So let's fucking do this.
Right.
So she already said she was down. So I'm getting her, and they got a couple others that have got some skills that need to be shown. Well, some skills won't be shown, but the cooking.
Well, you can learn a few.
Those skills will be shown. Sorry. My bad. This is a kid's show, too.
Right.
My bad. Okay, I already know that. I'm single. Doesn't matter. Couple of favorite gyms you've ever trained at.
Oh, damn. That's a crazy list. Yeah,
I was going to say, you've trained at the greatest gyms on the planet.
I've been pretty lucky. Yeah, I've been to a lot of great gyms. And there's a lot of great gyms out there, too. You know, it's all about the people. There's a lot of great little gyms that have really good communities. I don't know, man. There's lots of awesome gyms. I was just talking about Doherty's gym in Melbourne the other day with a friend of mine.
I love that gym.
You know, that Brunswick location. I mean, he's got a lot of great locations, but the Brunswick one's like the museum,
that's
right?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah. And that's crazy. I love just walking around looking at the pictures on the wall after my workout, you know?
Yep.
And another funny thing about Doherty's is it's a very Australian thing, but, you know, they're all about their coffee.
Right.
Have I told this story before? How you go to Doherty's and you get like an espresso on a little saucer with a little teacup?
Yeah. That's normal.
Right?
That's totally normal in Australia everywhere, though. So.
Yeah, they have like coffee.
But it does feel weird in a super hardcore gym.
Super hardcore gym.
I'm like this behind my desk.
Yeah, everyone's drinking their espressos pre-workout. It's very, very Australian. They love their coffee there. Yeah, and then, you know, I was just telling someone the other day because they were asking me about Dino's. I know we talked about Dino's before. But, you know, just it's hard to find. Like, there's how many gyms like Dino's are there?
None. I mean, truthfully, if you think about it, Dino's has an energy. I don't think most people will ever understand what that means.
Yeah.
But like Gold's Venice used to. It doesn't anymore. Truthfully.
Right.
Like, I used to be able to train in there anytime, dead silent, loud, energy. Now they've fucked it up. It's just a gym.
Well, the $50 drop-in kind of takes the gas out of me when I walk in, right?
Well, but even the gym itself, they've just changed it so far away that it no longer feels the same. You know, Dino's, I can go there in 15 years, and he'll have made it better. He'll change things.
He'll still be playing the Ramones.
It'll feel the same. There'll still be a fucking tree that holds 12 billion pounds right up front.
Yeah.
But no, Dino's is definitely one of my favorites. Quads, his insanity.
Yeah.
And I love, I mean, here, this is one of my favorite Ronisms. The quality of a gym is determined by the leg room.
Right. It's a big deal.
And Armbrust Gym has an entire leg room.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And he has every, I mean, you went there, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, it was Mutant on a Mission last season. Yeah. He just put up a bunch of pictures just celebrating like the history of Armbrust. And he happened to put up a picture of me and Gabe and Rich and Johnny with him.
Oh, no shit.
From a 2013 Mutant shoot.
Oh, when you guys, because you guys did the Mutant Mansion there.
Yeah. So we trained there every day for a week. So yeah, it was good times. Good times at that gym for sure. I was also been talking to Ryan at Metroflex Marietta.
Oh, that is a fucking great gym.
Yeah, he's got an awesome gym. I love how
with the downtime, dude. His gym's going to be like sparkling clean and fucking phenomenal when everybody gets back.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Here's something that I thought was crazy that he was putting on his story. So, you know, I told you about how a lot of the members at West Coast wanted to keep their billing on.
Yeah.
To help support the gym, which like fucking massive, huge help. Right. Yeah. He had a lot of members that wanted to keep their billing on too.
Yeah.
And then because of the big chain gyms that didn't turn people's memberships off or offer them any recourse or even email them, like just shut down and like ignore everyone.
Yeah.
There's a class action lawsuit against like some big corporation. So the government, the attorney general stepped in and he made all billing companies shut all billing down. So Ryan can't collect from his members.
The ones that want to pay.
The ones that wanted to pay. He shut down, the attorney general shut down, mandatory billing shut down, illegal to bill. And he's like, my members want to pay me. And they're like, too bad.
And see, that there goes right to what you're saying. You know, so now on one monster's move, we're all fucked.
Yeah, like that's just the stuff. That's just the most government thing of governments that government could governmently do. Like, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Scary words.
Scariest words you ever hear out of anybody's mouth fucking ever. And that's it. So now Ryan's like, oh, great. Do I have to do a fuck? Like, you know, I don't know what he's thinking, but like to fucking actually set up a donation fund, which is just like so stupid, you know?
Yeah. Well, then the appearance of the whole thing looks different anyways. You're like, no one's asking to do extra work. They're just saying, don't turn it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no, that's fucked. He does. We're going to be making a trip up there soon. I've been promising the Armbrust trip for a while now, so that's coming. It's funny, now that I'm in this place and my video guy's down to go anywhere, I'm like, guess where we're going this weekend? Let's fucking go.
Yeah, go see him. Go see him for sure. I'd love to get down there. Now, what about the post we did that I was asking, who do you want on the show? Did you tally those up at all?
I didn't tally them, but I mean, it's some of them are runaways.
Yeah, there's a few runaways on there.
That just want to jump on. And the cool thing is fortunately, like everyone they asked for that I know of, we know.
Yeah.
You or I can pick up a phone call and get them. So it's you know, we should be loaded up. I think one thing I'm curious about is, I think now that we've got such a list, maybe we try to get to like three in one, like three, you know, because we've been just kind of chilling on getting people on the show. There were so many people I forgot about. Like, we could do three people a month easily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been talking about Kuklo before the Arnold, and I don't have him on. You know what I mean? So, no, there's a ton. And people really like the trainers and the coaches, too, to get some of their views on that stuff. You know, Tuttle was a fucking huge hit. So we'll be having some people are requesting we bring him back on already.
That episode and the Gina episode, like the people really got great feedback from all those.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. Okay, man. You got some shit
to do.
Pretty
well locked, dude. Yep. Do I have some? I gotta eat. I told you, I'm learning how to eat again.
I know. I know. Wait till you see me next time you see me. I know my face looks pretty trim compared to how it used to be. You know, when I used to carry the big St. Bernard head.
That'll be me.
So yeah, that'll be you. Okay, get your cheeks out, buddy.
It's going to be fucking great. You'll be all shredded and shit, and I'll have found a way to get uglier. God damn it.
Okay. Good to talk to you, buddy. Remember, subscribe, follow, share, comment, all that stuff. Help us out on Instagram, YouTube, you know, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're getting the show from. We really appreciate it. Remember our codes. It's Dusty20. And BigRon20, if you go on the IamMutant.com website and order something up. Anything else to add?
other than no, we'll see you guys next week. Enjoy your cardio with us.
Yeah.
And we'll get your guests as you've requested.
There you go. We gave you three or four cardios in one episode. Remember, everybody, it's just bodybuilding.